Having just celebrated Valentine's Day, I am so mindful of the Necco wafer, or Necco candy hearts that have those poignant messages on them, like be mine, and love you, and kiss me, and crazy for you. As a kid, I remember being very selective as to who would get just what candy. I had to make sure that the right person got the right candy because I didn't want to send out the wrong message. If I were to create a candy heart today to express my understanding of the greatest love story of all time, I would create a heart that says, made for each other. Unfortunately, the heart would have to be big enough and much bigger than what they currently are in order to fit all those words on it. Made for each other. That's the way I understand my relationship with God to be. In the beginning, it is written, God created. God created all things, including humankind. We are created in God's image. And if we are created in God's image, then our image is grace-filled, creative, grateful. That's an authentic image of God. At God's creative hand, God links God's self with all of humankind. We were made for each other. Now, for you theologians out there, and I see a couple retired clergy, so I better be careful, but for you retired or you theologians, I'm not going to talk about or have a theological conversation about whether or not God needs humankind in order to be God. That's a conversation for another time and another place. But what I am talking about is we are loved into life by God. We are loved into life. Being a loving and gracious creator, God brings us into life. By God's own creative nature, humankind then has meaning and purpose, a place in God's creation. And that meaning and purpose and place is to be in relationship with God and with one another. The story of God, as it is told in the Old and the New Testament, continually speaks of God's abiding love, God's grace, and redemption of all of God's people, who from time to time get lost in the haze of self-importance, or greed, or hate, or envy, even lust. And the list goes on and on. This ancient tale of relationship speaks of relationship offered and lost and reclaimed. This morning, with the help of Matthew's gospel, we meet Jesus, God's messenger of redemption, among God's people gathered by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus has been talking to them for a while now, and the collection of people has increased as he speaks. He reminds some and announces yet to others that human beings can be in good, authentic, and whole relationship with God and with one another. In these verses, Jesus delves into the hot topics of the day: murder, retribution, betrayal, abandonment, lying. All acts of human behavior that seek and sometimes succeed in destroying relationships. With his words, Jesus points to a way to reconcile or make right those broken relationships with one another and with God. Jesus moves beyond the visible or that outward behavior of relationships to the invisible feelings of the heart. What is in your heart? Jesus asks. In his antithetical speech, Jesus is calling all listeners to align their lives with divine values, to commit themselves to the transformative power of God's love. You may not go so far as to kill someone you are angry with, yet to even think about the act of murder makes you no better than the murderer. Being in relationship with God is not only about how we act on the outside, it is about who we are on the inside, in our heart. Late night talk show host and sometimes theologian Stephen Colbert said it this way: when you take an oath, you can't think one thing and say another. I agree. In my opinion, to do so is to lie to oneself and to God. Colbert then said, when you take an oath, you are asking God to witness on the pain of your immortal soul that what you whisper in your hearts comes out of your mouth. Jesus said, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Jesus is teaching first century followers and 21st century Christians what it means to live in relationship with God. Jesus invites us to do a deep dive into ourselves and really question who we believe ourselves to be, and then come to terms with who we really are. Now, I can tell you from experience, the deep dive business into who I say I am and who I am is not pretty. In fact, it is sometimes downright painful. So I'm going to make a confession to you this morning. Over the past couple of years, I have struggled with the political environment of our country, and I have wrestled with the current state of my beloved church, the United Methodist Church. My struggle has been so intense that my anxiety level became noticeably higher. My blood pressure went up. Everything I had placed my trust in seemed to be unraveling before me. I couldn't sleep. I was stress eating. I was angry. I was lashing out at authority figures. I was saying unkind things to people who have been longtime colleagues. My thoughts became their darkest when I heard myself whisper, God, could you just provide a strategically blocked artery in them just to shut them up? Whoa. I had allowed my relationship with God to be severed. I became someone I didn't know, someone I didn't even like. I needed and I wanted to find my way back to the God of love and redemption, creativity and hope. And in order to do that, I had to take a deep dive into my own hurt in order to reclaim the person that I want to be, the person God created me to be. I needed to reclaim my personhood so that I could recognize the personhood in all, including those with whom I fully disagree. It wasn't easy, and it wasn't pretty. Here's what I did. I began using the daily devotional by Sister Joan Chittister called The Rule of Benedict, A Spirituality for the 21st Century, and I thought I was really going to be bogged down because there's a lot of obedience in that stuff. But what I discovered about myself was that when I retired from active ministry in 2017, I pretty much retired from God. I cut off the most treasured relationship with the one who had been my heart and soul for my whole life long. I forgot that we, God and me, were made for each other. I neglected to listen and to practice my relationship with God, and so I needed to reconcile myself to God. I had to reconnect the severed lines that charged me with the capacity to love and forgive, to respond and not react, so that I could be once again the authentic image of God. This morning, our scripture lesson invites us to move beyond what might feel like shaming and blaming language. We are invited to do a deep dive into the heart of our own relationship with God. We are invited by God's grace to live a different life. We are invited to love God with our whole heart. And in loving God with our whole heart, we then are able to cultivate a capacity within ourselves to fully love one another. In her book, Joan Chittister says, "No one grows simply by doing what someone else forces us to do. We begin when we finally want to grow." Jesus is inviting us to grow in relationship with God and with one another. As it was in the beginning, Jesus tells us again that human beings can be in a good, authentic, whole relationship with God and with one another because we are made for each other. With his words and actions, Jesus invites us to dive deep into our hearts, to be reconciled with God, who loved us into being. If you are willing and you are able, I invite you to take this next step of reconciliation in your relationship with God. As we enter in and share these words of our prayer of confession, with every choice we make, we show how faithful we are to God's hopes for us. Yet despite the mistakes we make, the missteps we take, God remains forgiving and gracious. So let us come to our God speaking honestly about our lives as we pray, saying, "How often we make the wrong choices, God of our lives. There are times when we look at others through the prism of prejudice, distorting who they really are. We can let our anger feed us with bitterness and hurt. We toss about harmful words like snowballs on a winter's day. We insult those around us, neglecting to lift them up. Have mercy on us, God, who is everywhere. May we set aside our squabbling natures to be united in common worship, common service, and in a common purpose as we follow Jesus Christ. Amen." God's forgiveness dwells in our hearts. Christ's love fills us. Spirit's peace guides our steps. Our feet are set on the journey, walking in faith and hope with our God, We will be servants to the world. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.